Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the show tonight. In just a couple of days, India will be all set to host a landmark G20 Heads of State Summit here in Delhi. Before that, the Prime Minister travels to Indonesia for the ASEAN-India Summit. He returns in just 24 hours and then gets down to the business of G20 with key bilaterals as well, with leading leaders who are now arriving in India. And then, of course, there's the summit itself over the weekend. So what's at stake in the summit? How significant is the India move to include African nations as part of an expanded G20? We'll be joined by the Tanzanian ambassador. On the show, we will also be bringing you a special report on what many in the national capital really want to know. How will transportation be affected over the next few days? We'll break it down for you in a detailed report. But first, the Foreign Minister, Dr. Jaishankar, who was asked today about whether it made any difference on whether Chinese President Xi Jinping were to attend the G20 summit. Remember, he's not done that. When asked this question on the implications, here's what Dr. Jaishankar had to say.
I think at different points of time in G20, you know, there have been some presidents or prime ministers who, for whatever reason, have chosen not to come themselves. But, you know, that country and that country's position is obviously reflected by whoever is the representative on that occasion. So you had, you know, some occasions where you've had, you know, a president or two, sometimes three, who have not themselves come.
I mean, they, will it have an impact on the outcome of the meet?
I would put it this way, that the issues are there. These are not issues that are this morning being taken up.
Well, the US, for its part, was clear China is attempting to play the role of spoiler.
As far as the question of tensions between India and China affecting the summit, really, that's up to China. If China wants to come in and play the role of spoiler, of course, that option is available to them. What I think the chair, India, will encourage them to do, what we, the United States, and every other member, virtually every other member of the G20 will do, is encourage them to come in a constructive way on climate, on multilateral development bank reform, on debt relief, on technology, and set aside the geopolitical questions and really focus on problem solving and delivering for the developing countries.
Well, speaking of China, ahead of the G20 process, China's foreign ministry made an important statement. They say relations with India are stable. But as we talk about G20, it's also important to remember about the presence of the United States President, who will be here shortly tomorrow with important bilaterals expected between in New Delhi and Washington here in New Delhi. We'll talk a little bit about that and also what we can expect at G20. Joining us, Jayant Krishna, Senior Fellow in U.S.-India Policy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, CSIS, and Ambassador Manjeev Puri, India's former representative to the United Nations. He's been our ambassador in Nepal and elsewhere as well. Thank you both very much for being with us. Jayant Krishna, do we expect any breakthrough between India and the United States? I use the word breakthrough because there's already a list of items that both countries want to work on, whether it's jet engines or technology or small nuclear reactors, etc., etc. Is anything going to be likely dotted this time with President Biden here?
Vishnu, I don't think so. Because, you know, G20 is a multilateral forum, and you know, these bilateral talks happen on the sidelines. But, you know, in any such major global summits, the bilateral meetings, are not as serious in terms of transacting business. Yes, you rightly said expectations are in terms of, the GE and HAL for jet engines, the pact which has got the government, U.S. government's endorsement now also. I think there'll be further discussions on that, on India's semiconductor foray. That's very, very important. I think there could be some discussion. And also on the digital public infrastructure DPI place, you know, what India has said that, there have to be more collaboration and platforms, repositories, online, collaboration among different countries. so that the service delivery standards improve. So I think those kind of things will happen. And also, while it is a multilateral issue, but I don't rule out that getting discussed between Prime Minister Modi and President Biden is largely the multilateral development bank reforms, you know, where the Global South has been pushing for the low interest rates, the loans being given in the local currency rather than in US dollar, that the countries do not suffer when the local currencies their valuation changes vis-a-vis dollars. Also restructuring of older loans, and also you increasing the kitty itself so that more and more, two to three times that more and more money flows into developing countries, the poorer countries. I think these kind of things, I think would figure, but having said so, in any such major, multilateral platform, especially in times when bodies like the United Nations, have not lived up to the expectations, I think more and more things would be on a multilateral issue rather than a bilateral. It's more for a continuity of a dialogue after the Prime Minister Modi had gone to the U.S. in June. I think it's more of a status update kind of a bilateral meeting.
So we'll see what happens finally with that. Ambassador Puri, China's president not attending, does that really make much of a difference?
So Vishnu, let me say this. I heard the Honorable Minister of External Affairs and he's absolutely right. Countries are represented. After all, their prime minister is coming. So in terms of substance, the country is going to be there. Similarly, in the case of Russia, and I believe the Mexican president is unable to travel or doesn't travel and so on.
Doesn't travel. But, since 2018, I don't think he's ever attended G20.
Precisely. That doesn't mean that Mexico's representation will not very strongly defend Mexican position. Having said this, after all, this is a summit. So the presence of the boss, the leader, is something that is important because Mr. Krishna mentioned the meetings on the sidelines. That's one thing. But there is also signaling. So I think, we need to accept it. It's all right. Let's take this thing forward because there is in the G20, there is form. Form is important. But at the end of the day, it's substance. And substance really matters. And we have two very important bilaterals also lined up. One is with the Saudis, which is just after the conclusion of the G20. And Mr. Krishna, there is a kind of semi-bilateral visit by President Biden because there is a full-scale meeting in that sense. So it's not a pull aside or anything like that. And so therefore, there are some good opportunities and chances of being able to truly take some of the bilateral issues forward. And I so much wish what you said, that, what President Biden's spokesperson also said in Washington, let's take the development bank's agenda forward. We both have a vested interest. The Global South has a tremendous interest. And if I say, if really pushed hard and with everyone there, let me say, don't you think the Chinese should also have an interest in it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mr. Krishna, the fact that it's very unlikely that there'll be a joint statement because of the issue of Russia-Ukraine, again, does that take away from this G20?
Yeah, so I think, I don't know whether it will not have any statement, but to my mind, some of the things like Russia has been, has actually suspended the Black Sea grain, treaty or whatever that dialogue was. And also, even if there is some mention of the human sufferings, the huge human sufferings the war between Ukraine and Russia has caused, I think it will be important. And also the fact that the way China and Russia have become, their proximity is a matter of huge global concern. And especially China, because it's a country which does not believe in playing a win-win game at all vis-a-vis other nations. It is playing a big brother. It's showing a big brother attitude, which even the U.S. never did, So I think, and perhaps that's one reason why the president has not coming, because to save himself from the embarrassment of, being cornered by different G20 nations, on many global issues, So I think, I fundamentally believe that, there will be LDB. And also one more area is the climate change, Vishnu, which is very, very important. The climate emergency is there for, it's not a few years ahead. It is there right now in front of us. So I think if there is a, there is some hope that a green development pact would also happen and it would be announced. you know, as to how the climate, you know, funding, financing would happen, you know, how, you know, how do you augment more renewable energy sources, mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. And also DPI may not have a direct, you know, the digital public infrastructure may not have a direct connect with climate, but definitely more and more services getting delivered electronically through, this kind of a tech-based, infrastructure would also help reduce the carbon footprint, to some extent, you know. So I think that climate to my mind is an area where there has to be some concrete steps forward. Otherwise, the world is going to pay a very, very, very heavy price and not
Mr. our Krishna, future just generations. Half a sec, I just wanted to go back to Mr. Puri as well. You know, we call it G20 now, Mr. Puri, but, you know, India is pushing for the African Union to be included. In a sense, it might end up being at some stage G21. This is a very important part of India's diplomacy to extend, you know, the G20 to several other nations in the African Union. It's a continent where we want to make an increasing mark. China already a strategic plays an important role in several of those economies. And therefore, this is an important step by India.
Vishnu, you're absolutely right. Look, India has always identified itself, and in fact, it is a part of the Global South. So, you know, when we say we are the voice of the Global South, we say that because we are part of the Global South. China, I'm afraid, no longer can claim to be part of the Global South in that sense of the term. Second largest economy. Look at where its per capita income is, and so on and so forth. So, you know, we have made this an important element of our mission. To speak up for agendas which are of importance to the Global South. And, you know, there should be no doubt in anyone's mind that the inclusion of the African Union, you know, today you only have South Africa. But, you know, if you have the inclusion of the African Union, the voice of the continent, which is really substantial, massive, and with huge amounts of potential, will be there on the table where the largest economies of the world meet. And which, you know, what are the kind of decisions the G20 takes? Let's take 30 seconds to get back. One, it's not a treaty-based body, so it's not where rules are made. But if countries can come together mm-hmm. and say domestically we will act in consonance, in the end, the global economy and the world tend to act in that direction.
Sure.
The second thing is you take decisions which then when you go to the de jure bodies which deal with that subject, the biggest have already decided. And so de jure acceptance, I'm not saying will be rubber stamped, but becomes that much easier.
Sure.
And if you have the Africans there, then you have their voice. I'm not saying that, you know, you will get everything that they want. No, but you have their voice as you come to your own conclusions. We always say development, cooperation should be, you know, driven by the recipient, what he or she, that country wants. And therefore, having the Africans with us would add immeasurably to the G20's abilities to be able to better humankind and its state of play.
Sure. Well, I'd like to thank you all very much, for both of you very much for joining us. I did get a chance earlier today to speak to the Tanzanian envoy to New Delhi, Anissa Kapufi Mabega, and asked her about the importance of the African Union possibly being included in the entire G20 process. This is that conversation which we did earlier on this today. Well, ahead of the G20 meet comes news of the likely inclusion of the African Union into the group of 20 nations, so it would become the G21 eventually. India has been a strong endorser of the role of African nations in the G20 process. Joining us now, a very special guest, Anissa Kapufi Mabega, is the Tanzanian envoy to India. Thank you, ma'am, very much for being with us. You must be welcoming this step. It's been encouraged by India to extend G20 into G21 with the possible inclusion of the African Union.
Thank you so much. My name is Anissa Mabega. I'm the Tanzanian High Commissioner in India. Yes, we commend the effort of the government of India, and especially under the leadership of Prime Minister Modi ji, for thinking of including the African Union into the G20 group of nations to become the group of 21. This is very commendable. We all know that African continent is a huge continent with potential opportunities in terms of trade, in terms of investment. It has quite a lot of natural resources endowed with it. It has a huge population of people, around approximately 1 billion people. But also it has it is peaceful. It is having a lot of potential in terms of trade. And especially after signing the African Continental Free Trade Area, it provides access to more than 450 billion worth. So we can see this is a potential market, and for the government of India under the leadership of Prime Minister Modi ji,
right,
we know that the vision of the G20 is under the spirit of the Vasudeva Kutumbakam, one nation, one family, one future. India has been a very good friend of African continent ever since. And we have witnessed that ever since the you would remember quite well, during the COVID-19 pandemic, India was there to support so many African countries to face the challenge of COVID-19 in terms of supplying vaccinations,
yes,
and medical facilities and others. So inclusion of African Union in the G20 means that promotion of trade, promotion of investment, but also expanding the trade area in terms of other countries of the G20,
sure,
trading with Africa.
So, High Commissioner, let me ask you this question, ma'am. It's also about financial inclusion. It is also about ensuring that the disparity in wealth which exists among nations of the G20 and outside is reduced substantially. What are some of the key steps which you believe that the G20 needs to make to ensure that there is greater financial inclusion for nations in Africa?
Most of the African countries are facing with this challenge of climate change. And we know that the developing countries lack technology, lack financial capacity in terms of combating the effects of climate change. The developed nations should look into this matter, because most of the of these countries are the ones which are producing this kind of emissions which affect our climate change. So we think that it is high time now African countries should be assisted in terms of technological advancement to combat the effects of climate change, so that we can prevent adverse effects on our continent as well, but also promote sustainable development of our people. We need to protect our environment and approach to the green economy and move towards that angle.
Sure. Ma'am, one of the big goals of India in our own country, and I think it's a goal of the G20, is to encourage the inclusion of women at multiple levels, whether it's at the political level, whether it is having women in the formal workplace as well. So in terms of the notion of shared prosperity, how important is the greater involvement of women?
It is very important, gender balance in terms of decision-making positions, in terms of the parliament. We see that happening in India as well, in Tanzania, in my country. Mm-hmm. We are blessed to have a woman president in my country as well as in India. You can see that coincidence. And women have a great capacity. They are blessed naturally to lead. So it is high time, I think, now we should also focus on gender balance in,
yes,
terms of putting women in decision-making positions, and also leading in top positions. And this is happening, as we are witnessing in India. We have so many women in the parliament, but also in Tanzania as well. So I think this is also one of the agenda which needs to be taken seriously. And with that, I think the world will be able to move in a better place.
Ma'am, one final question. You know, India has developed a digital backbone. The process of digitalization is something that's gone quite far. For example, I use an app called DigiLocker where my driving license, the registration certificate of my card, my COVID registration, it's all there on a digital format. When I go to the airport, there is another app that allows me to enter quite fast. Do you believe that the digital backbone which we've developed in India is something which can be shared with other countries, including yours?
Definitely, definitely. We are moving to the era of we are moving to the phase of digital transformation, and this is very important for our economy. Everything is nowadays done digitally, and African nations also needs to be included in that aspect. And we are moving towards the fourth industrial revolution. So I think it's high time now other countries should also share the technological transformation to African countries so that we can move at par in terms of digital transformation,
right,
and technological advancement. And this will help in sustaining our trade, but promoting our trade, but also achieve the targets set forth by our respective countries.
High Commissioner Rambega, thank you very much, ma'am, for being with us. And let's look forward to a wonderful G20. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. Well, commuting in Delhi during the G20 summit may be tricky because of security arrangements, VVIP movement control zones and traffic diversions. Bus services will be affected in some parts. The metro, by and large, will work. Here's a quick guide on how to navigate the capital city during the big G20 event. This is a map of Delhi. There are three primary areas with restrictions. What you see on your screen now is the control zone number one. There's also the control zone number two, and the area marked here, bound by the ring road, is called the regulated zone. In control zone one, there'll be major restrictions from 5 a.m. on the 8th of September to 11:59 on the 10th of September. In control zone 2, there'll be major restrictions from 12 a.m. on the 10th of September to 2 p.m. on the 10th of September. In the regulated zone, there'll be restrictions from 5 a.m. on the 8th of September to 11:59 p.m. on the 10th of September. So what are restrictions in the controlled and regulated areas? Here is what you need to know. In the control zone number 1 that you see on your screen, all regular road transport movement will be affected. Only residents authorized and emergency vehicles will be allowed. In control zone 2, all regular road transport will be affected in this area as well. Only residents who are authorized can travel, also emergency vehicles will be allowed. Therefore, plan movement to the airport and railway station carefully. In the larger regulated zone, residents, emergency vehicles and vehicles of passengers traveling to airport and railway stations will be allowed. But what about bus transportation? Here's what the police have told us so far. Interstate buses will be allowed entry into Delhi, but the terminating points will be on the ring road. The precise locations of these not been spelt out so far. No bus services will be allowed in close proximity to G20 sites. Now, several of our viewers had queries on whether they can get to train stations and the airport at all. Here's what we've been told so far. Passengers using cars to travel to airports and train stations must keep sufficient time in hand. There will be multiple route diversions to get to the airport. All route diversions have been spelled out at the website traffic.delhipolice.gov.in. Please, please refer to this because they've got a lot more information than we have time to share. Taxi services will be allowed. Getting these may not be that easy. You need to plan. The use of the metro's airport line, once again, being encouraged. So what will not be allowed by and large, and what should you expect in all other cases? For starters, goods vehicles, by which I mean heavy trucks, will not be allowed during the G20 days. Essential commodities such as milk and vegetables will be allowed. There'll be heavy regulation of traffic on all G20 days. Expect multiple traffic diversions and delays. What authorities are advising is the extensive use of metro services, which by and large should continue without major delays and on major routes. However, some, not all gates of stations will remain shut. So, for example, all gates of the Supreme Court station will be closed from the 8th to the 10th of September. It will not be functioning, this station. But some gates of other metro stations may be shut to control the movement of people. The use of the airport metro line, once again, needs to be encouraged, which is why we are putting it out there.